see the Lord and his train fills the temple. I see the Lord, he is high lifted up. The Lord and its train fills the temple. I see the Lord, he is high and lifted up. Yes, you are, Lord, and angels cry. Designed to flame it like fire, there's fire in his eyes. I see the Lord, and his hair is white as snow. Sing with me, come on, angels cry.
And I cry, holy. my heart, my soul, and mind. I cry out to the God who created all things. And I bow my heart before you because you're holy and worthy and glorious and powerful. I honor you. I magnify you. I bow before you, Lord. I want everybody to help me one more time. Come on.
And I cry, holy, holy.
Can we do it just one more time? In the balcony, in the cafeteria, everybody in this place tonight.
This is WSCIRO, Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, a broadcast service of Sikh Christian Teaching and Worship Center, Greater Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love. Where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la. My King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la. I'll seek you from morning to night.
I will not fear, for he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are with me. Oh, whom shall I fear? And whom shall I be afraid of?
Yeah. Good day, everyone. We just want to just welcome you to WSCIROC, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston on Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to a special edition of Faith Talks Live Prayer. This is a special edition because it's our first documentary that we have recorded in its entirety from a from the movie Raised from the Dead, which is real. It's a real story, and it's Reinhard Bonnke's account and Pastor Daniel Ikuchakwu and his wife's account of what happened. You know, where he was for 3 days, and you know, the ministry of resurrection or raising people from the dead is so common in African nations, and for those who believe, it happens in other ways here in the United States, like in hospital rooms from time to time when people pray, when the Lord reveals to followers of Christ his perfect will for an individual. The Lord can actually, there's several levels of resurrection from the dead. The Catholic Church has resurrection for the dead masses, where they have mass, the funeral rites, mass of the dead, where, you know, as a body of believers, they believe that when an individual falls asleep in Christ, that they fall asleep, and then they awake in eternal life. And there is also teaching concerning purgatory, where those that are predestined to go to heaven may die with a relationship with Jesus, but maybe through living this life, they have had some impurity that maybe they weren't able to get, you know, deal with the Lord, so that the grace of falling asleep in Christ would allow them to be obedient and submissive to the Holy Spirit, to the purifying process. They call it purgation because many of the saints that have gone on to glory had come back when they fell asleep, only to warn people about their time in purgatory. And when a mass is offered, they, you know, by believers on this earth, it would release them to go to heaven. And so, you know, there's many people from different denominations that do not believe it, because I believe that many people, you know, need a revelation of this kind of resurrection. But there's another kind of resurrection for the dead, where the dead man is given another chance to come back to this world to tell, to give a message in the flesh, to let people know you got to get your house in order. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place, and it's not God's will that people end up in hell. So the Lord gives us every chance to really, get right with Him before that day of transition, where we fall asleep in this life and awake in the next, if the Lord tarries. Okay, so given that, before we go into the documentary, and later on in the documentary, Reinhard Bonnke is going to come and give a witness and really give a challenge and present a challenge to those who are teeter-tottering, or those who have yet to give their heart to the Lord. Okay? But before then, I want to make a profession of faith here. This is after the Nicene Creed, the oldest creed of the church, and many people in other denominations too, or non-denominational parts of the body of Christ. They use parts of this creed, if not the whole thing, to profess their faith with their congregations and or prayer group or home or house church or Bible study group. Anyways, this is the profession of faith professed every Sunday morning or even whenever the Holy Spirit leads us to. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and Son. With the Father and Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic, which is universal, an apostolic church, established by the apostles. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. So we are always, always a people of hope, always looking for a resurrection of some sort. So it falls along, when you hear of a witness of somebody being raised from the dead, either from a coma, whether it be 17 hours, 20 minutes, 3 days, or a week, okay, and you hear of their witness, what they experienced when they were on the other side, in the message that was given to them, you can't help but believe in Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior. So I believe the Lord, because he loves his people so much and he desires to have a people for himself, all right, he yearns to get your attention to, what his blood has done for you, what his blood has done for mankind. All right, many of you people have listened to many of my witnesses and testimonies on YouTube and Facebook and, Faith Talks Live Prayer on YouTube and different video clips that you see from time to time on Facebook. And my daughter, Naomi, there was a time where I didn't know if the Lord would hear the prayer of a mother, me, praying for my children, because we have gone through so many things when they were mere babies. And I just reached a point where enough was enough, and I prayed and I fasted, because the Lord had told me to, because there was some danger lying ahead. And when the danger happened, my daughter was a casualty of the spiritual warfare, and she was 5 at the time. Now she's 21, and she had drowned and was dead. And, she had, coded. She was blue. She was lifeless. And the Holy Spirit had said to me, she's not dead, she's asleep. And he reminded me that he took the sting out of death. When I looked at her with my eyes, I'm thinking dead, but then the Holy Spirit interjects and intercepts my mind, bypasses my thinking, my brain cells, and tells me, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And then I began to see the warfare that was around her, and he rose up within me, the Holy Spirit rose up within me in power and glory, and I took authority. I also saw that there was people around me that was persistent in fear, And, you know, one of the things that you're going to hear when you hear the witness of the man raised from the dead, you're going to hear that, you know, there, for the people that were around the corpse, when he was a corpse, they had witnessed that there was all kinds of fear hanging, and they understood how the spirit of fear can actually paralyze people and plunge a person from belief to unbelief. So, many things happen when the spirit of the Lord is present, and you have wonderful revelation. But you also, you also have a better understanding as to what God's will is for the situation. And in the case of Lazarus, when he was raised from the dead, in I believe the Gospel of John, actually they gave several accounts in the different Gospels, but specifically I believe it was either Luke or John, that Jesus had to go into the tomb and told the disciples to stand back, because he realized that they were persistent in unbelief, and that was going to get in the way of resurrection power of what the Lord wanted to do for the situation. There was other times where Jesus would go into various cities and provinces of Israel, and said that he couldn't do any miracles because of the unbelief that was persistent in the hearts of people. So when a person is walking in a great way with the Holy Spirit, they can see. The Lord gives them eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying about the situations that are around them. But it all begins with belief. It all begins with faith, hope, and love. You have to have the love of the Lord to heal, because the Lord's no respecter of faith. The Lord's no respecter of persons, okay? And I wanted to read a scripture from 2 Corinthians before we go further into this. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 4, all right? It says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. And the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, can manifest that any way that he wants to, because he's Jesus. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in us too. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, like it says in the Apostles' Creed. The Nicene Creed specifically, for what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Our heavenly dwelling, 2 Corinthians 5. Now, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. And, there's so many torments here upon the earth as the darkness increases, and lately there's been an increase in suicide, and that is definitely not the Lord's will, that we throw in the towel before our time. And it usually comes from deep groaning and getting stuck in that groaning, and if we don't trust in the Lord, we are going to become confused. The spirit of confusion one of the fiery darts from the enemy is going to come and kind of mar and blur our vision, okay? Blur the beatific vision that the Lord wants to always present to us in our relationship with Him. So, you know, it's very, very important to not take drastic measures in these times of testing, okay? So meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him while we're here on this earth. So we may make it our goal to please Him whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ one way or the other, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So I want to go into the ministry of reconciliation, because this is what the purpose of why this gentleman, this pastor, you know, had been given another chance, because he had a very strong grace of reconciliation that he had to continue in on and also teach others. Okay, so the ministry of reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are put out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died, and He died for all, and that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So now, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And it seems that a lot of times, many people seem to do this, many leaders, many well-intentioned leaders. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. So, I want you to just sit back, relax, you know, and I ask that the Holy Spirit would bring you into a greater sense of truth through His grace about you becoming an ambassador of the Lord, or even renewing your life before the throne room of grace. Because as believers, especially here in America, we can really our walk for granted and not be as serious as we should. Okay, we more or less look at, you know, feel that the world's eyes are on us, but what about heaven's eyes? Heaven's eyes are upon us. And when we understand that and live in that reality, wouldn't you want to do better in your life and ask the Lord to give you that grace? All right, so I just want you to just sit back, relax, and be open to what the Holy Spirit is showing you through this, okay? Through this wonderful documentary that the Lord has designed for you. All right. It's a remarkable story of a Nigerian pastor, his name is Daniel, who was fatally injured in a car accident. And, you know, the English is a little hard to hear, but I'm giving you a scenario so, you know, just to prepare you as to what you're going to hear. And he was fatally injured in a car accident near the town of Onitsha, Nigeria, Africa, on November 30th, 2001. During a dramatic journey to a hospital in Orere, Nigeria, he lost all life signs and was later pronounced dead by two different medical staff in two different hospitals. The latter wrote a medical report and commissioned the corpse to the mortuary, but Daniel's wife remembered a verse in scripture from Hebrews 11. Women received their dead raised to life again. She heard about a meeting where evangelist Reinhard Bonnke was going to preach and proceeded by bringing Daniel's body in his coffin. What follows is a story you will never forget. And so, without further ado, enjoy the rest of this broadcast and pass it around. It will bless many people. After Reinhard Bonnke is done witnessing and offering an altar call, we are going to offer up special communion at the end of this broadcast. For the Lord to
and they were arguing. Some people say bring it down. Some people said
with resurrection power.
Then some of my people will bring it down. Other people will push it back. Some people and they were dragging until my son went there and told them to carry him to the basement and to get him out of the coffin. That they should not carry it with the coffin into the basement because the children will be scared and people will run away.
First of all, they should remove him from the casket, which some other boys helped us do. They remove him from the casket down there. Just at this plane now, and they have we really have to run inside the youth conference center. We are looking for a place to lay him, and they brought in these two tables, and his head was here while his legs were here. This was the first place where they now laid him.
Then we run the meeting. Bonnke finished. He prayed for people. After praying for the people, I took him to the office. Somebody rushed in and said, "It's now breathing. That is breathing. It's breathing."
Now he has started breathing bit by bit. That we should pray. So I and my pastor friend, Pastor Loki, we started praying. But when I touched him from the head to the toe, it was like a stockfish, and the veins like this. Even there are some people that snap in a picture. He turns to me like this, by the sides. I just lying like that. So, we started praying. We continued praying and praying and praying. He was breathing, his breath was reviving and reviving and reviving until some other person go and gathered our boys inside the main auditorium. When they gather them, they all gather here. We are all praying. At times I would say, "Stop, let us sing," and we sing and we pray. People, we are all around this place. They wanted to see. They wanted to know what finally happened. So we are praying all through. As we are praying, we are even sweating. And we are telling people to go away that he will get some distance. And the wife was sitting down there in a bench. So,
the time
and
is
we are just
10
praying and
o'clock
praying.
P.M.
So as we are praying now, suddenly we saw the eyes started, life started coming in. I said to my pastor friend, Pastor Luke, that, you know, they say that he has been in 3 days in a mortuary. Let us massage him. So he was there massaging the right hand, and I was here massaging the left hand. We are just squeezing it, making sure that life, because now we find out that as we are praying, that the heart started, the heart become hot. So, and he was breathing, we started massaging the hands. As we massaged the hands, suddenly it seemed that life came into the hand, and we put the hands on the heart and the chest. Now, the neck, I massaged the neck, and life came into it. I was able to turn him, but before it was like a stockfish. I was able to turn it. I picked up the mic and asked the whole people that that dead man they brought here is now breathing. And the father interrupted my announcement and said, although he's breathing, his body is still like iron. Suddenly, people shouted for me to turn to see why people are shouting, because they were all there. Filled up all this place. They want to see. And when they shouted, I saw this man jump up. When he jumped up, I abandoned the person I was with. And I rushed and I grabbed him just like this. When he was breathing, suddenly he jumped up. One of the men in deliverance grabbed him. Then he looked around. Then they decided to carry him up because people were jamming into the place. Then he asked for his fire. I find out that if we keep him here, people may trample up on us. I say, let us take him upstairs and we follow through the steps. Take him there. And up we go. At the edge of the steps, he say, water, water. He demanded for water. I was shouting, bring water, let's give him water. And as they were delaying, he was asking me, my fire. And I said, that is the fire the enemy uses to accuse me. Just cool it, you will understand. As we carried him to the pastor, priest office under the fan, we kept him there, and the fan was rolling. He was still asking, where is my fire? You see? And after which, mommy came in there. He said, the air is too compacted, that we should take him to the main auditorium, that he will have enough air. So we take him to the main auditorium, people thronged. Suddenly, we saw people coming in from the outside. It seemed that the news went in, and people started coming in. As people were coming in there, they saw the same man sitting down. I went back to my village with a ram. I gave it to my father. And I told him I'll be coming back with bags of rice because of Christmas. So, on my way coming back, getting to my house, there's a very big valley. The valley is very, very much. So, on my way getting to that place, the brake of my car fell. I missed this car, 238. So, I tried to control the car. I couldn't. And because of how dangerous that place is, as very big pillars, they positioned there to wedge the car not to somersault inside the big place. So my car had to hit those pillars, and I hit my chest on the steering. And I remembered I was vomiting blood. Blood was coming out of my nose. So, and there was someone with me. He was also wounded. So people crowded. I remember they brought me out of the tarring. That was all I could remember. While I was at the hospital, immediately I got myself. I just looked around and saw all the briefs and all the things they fixed on me. So I now requested for my wife. And when they brought her, I told her that I want them to take me to Dr. Omezurike at Owerri, because he has been my doctor. There was a time I was slaughtered. He was the one that took care of me. So I now requested that he should take me to him.
Then he took him out from that place. Off he went to Owerri.
I had pastors and other people to go with me. So, but because of the way I was breathing, so I felt within me that something might happen on the way. I now requested that they should please allow my wife to come. So I and my wife was in the ambulance. So at the time, two angels came inside the ambulance. Immediately I saw them, I was afraid. I wanted to say it out, what I saw. But eventually, one of them said, just shut me up. So I couldn't talk concerning the angels. But I only told my wife, take care of the church, this and that, and things I felt that she don't know. When the two angels took me up, so we came to a place that they now handed me over to an angel, one of them. So that one now took me to a place. He told me that we are going to visit paradise. That was what he told me. Because I was communicating with him as human being, everything you can. I asked him questions, he answered my questions. He was holding me like a friend. So he now told me that we're going to visit paradise. So we now visited a place. When we approached the place, I saw multitude of people that looked exactly like the one with me, that angel with me. The angel with me was having a white apparel. The body was pure white. The apparel was pure white. But the apparel doesn't look removable from the body. So, and when I saw this crowd, they were looking exactly like the one with me. So in my heart, I said, oh, look at where the angels gathered. That was what I thought, because I was still having thought in me there. So now he told me that this is where the saints that have died, this is where they are. So while I watched them, they were singing praises so wonderfully. You know, it was as if there was a force inside that environment that controls what they do. When they want to raise their hand, they raise it at once. No one will be faster, no one will be late. If they want to bow down, they will just go down while no one will be late. As if there's a force controlling them doing all the things. Was hearing a lot of musical instruments, but I never see anyone. So while that experience was going on, in my spirit, I desired it most to go in there to join them. I even made a move. He said, no, I still have a lot of things to show you. Don't go in. So after that, he now said, let us go and visit the mansion Jesus promised. Are you getting what I'm saying? He now took me to a wonderful place. In fact, what I saw there, I don't have anything to describe it. It was so glorious. Very wonderful mansion. You look at the building, you look like glass, look like gold, look like whatever. Even the flowers there, they are looking like gold. So, you know, when I was looking at that place, he now told me that Jesus has finished the mansion, but the saints are not ready. He now said, now let us visit hell. That was the last visit. Now, that's one thing that happens. From the paradise, whatever he said, we appear to the place. We never fly, we never move. Maybe he said, let us visit the mansion. In a twinkle of an eye, I just found a place that looked like that mansion. So from that mansion, he now said, let us visit hell. In a twinkle of an eye, we found ourselves the place. So immediately we approached the place. That gate was so big, so large. The road on top of it, welcome to the gate of hell. As soon as we got to the place, the angel just raised his hand like this, wave it down, and the gate opened with a wonderful noise. So immediately the noise, the gate opened, I started hearing lamentations. So I now looked inside, I saw people like us here. They were having the same, they were putting on some clothes, the same place, some are black, some are white. They just looked like us, outside what I saw in the other side. So they were shouting, there was a lot of pain, a lot of torment, to the extent that immediately that gate was opened. It was as if they were seeing me. And I don't even think that they were seeing the angel with me, because I was standing with the angel, because they never asked the angel to help them. They was asking me for help, shouting, and I remembered one wonderful one, because I'm a pastor, so that one touched me so much. He was shouting that I'm a pastor, I only ate church money, that I'm ready to refund. Immediately he just wanted to say, I'm ready to refund it, that I should help. That force that we are tormenting, I never see any fire there, I never see any flame here. But the torment there looks as if people, that they are inside fire. All these things the angel was telling me, I was writing them down in a file. The angel gave me a file and a pen. I was jotting all of them down. Even when I walk here, I remember that was the first thing I remember, that file. I asked them, where is my file? They couldn't understand me. So all those things I saw, I jotted them down, but it was later I realized that the file might be my memories and all that. So while I was shouting, asking him for help, he said that I have another chance to go back. He mentioned this, that the request of the rich man in hell had been granted to this generation. I didn't understand it, because now that I woke up, I read the Bible, I realized that the request was, the rich man was requesting that a dead man should be sent back to the world. So he just said that the request of the rich man had been granted to this generation for the last warning. He said to me that he's giving me opportunity to go back for the last warning to this generation.
I've been having those stories and all those things. So when I saw them, I knew that they are angels.
So I knew within me that this is death. That was where I stopped knowing anything. I didn't remember my wife, my children, my houses and my cars, everything about me, because somehow God blessed me. But I didn't remember any one of them. And again, on that Sunday, when I woke up, so I was hearing a lot of voices. When I saw some hands holding me, this one was saying coffin, mortuary, 3 days. I couldn't understand. I didn't ask any question until when we got to the house.
I told my
wife now detailed me. Starting from this moment, as long as this heavenly race is consigned, if I hear, hey, I will lock myself in the toilet. When the noise is stopped, I will come out. Because I'm not ready to meet this heaven. That's what I told her. Because I'm not ready for any other problem. That's why it affected me that I became more afraid of God.
When they brought him into this hall, a lame woman with crutches saw him, threw off her crutches, not walking, she started running. I could remember the reaction of the man whose husband walked, whose wife walked. When the wife started running about, she wanted to embrace the husband said, don't touch me, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, I've been committing sin. If you touch me, you may be careful again. And the man rushed at the altar and raised his hands and started crying, asking God to forgive for all his sins. It was terrible here.
There's a battle in my heart where my faith will
Justine is a miracle that was witnessed and documented to such an extent that I believe no one can walk away from it casually. Daniel's wife, Neka, acted on her stubborn faith in the miracle power of Jesus, and without her faith and corresponding actions, none of the preceding events would have taken place. But there is more to this than the importance of faith. It is clear that the Lord has something very specific to say to this generation, to all of us. In the over 30 years that I have preached across Africa, I have preached on the rich man and Lazarus countless times. Since it closely relates to what you have just seen and heard, I would like to show you a brief excerpt from this message. I will be right back.
Now the question in my mind is this. What was the damning sin which that man committed that made him go to hell? How many of you want to know too? I knew it, that's why I'm preaching this message. I'm going to tell you crystal clear what the damning sin of that man was, so that nobody here repeats it. Luke 16 verse 19 says that he was a rich man when he was on earth. I asked myself, can it be that that man went to hell because he was rich? What do you think? Yes or no? No!
No!
I agree with you! The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich, and the poor man didn't go to heaven because he was poor. In one night, the rich man died in the palace, and the poor man died outside the palace. When the rich man closed his eyes on earth, the next split second he opened his eyes in hell. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Amen. The rich man died, and the next moment he was in hell. Then Jesus said, the poor man died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the place of comfort, paradise, heaven, call it what you want. It was a place of joy and of comfort. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, by a miracle, I suppose, when that man was in hell, by a miracle, he looked up and he couldn't believe his eyes. He could see right into heaven. Hey! Amen. And he saw that poor man who was in front of his house, he saw him in the arms of Abraham. Now a conversation started between hell and heaven, and that will give us the answer to the question what the damning sin of the man in hell was. Say amen. Hallelujah. The rich man in hell screamed and said, he said, Father Abraham, Send Lazarus with one drop of water here down to hell, because I am tormented in these flames. Abraham said, this is not possible because there is no bridge from heaven to hell. Nobody can come up and nobody will go down. When the man in hell realized that he couldn't get help from heaven while he was in hell, when he realized that, then he said, Father Abraham, I beg you, I still have got five brothers on earth who commit the very same sin that I have committed, which means that they will come and join me in hell. Please let somebody rise from the dead and go home to my brothers' houses and knock on their door and say, greetings from your brother in hell. You need to be saved by Jesus. Hey, what did Abraham say? Abraham said they have Moses and the prophets. He meant they have the word of God and they have the preachers of the word of God. And if they don't believe the word of God by the preachers of the word of God, they will also not believe if somebody would return from the dead. Say amen. Now I come to the point. Now I'm ready to tell you what I believe was the damning sin that made that man go to hell. In verse 30, the rich man screamed from hell to heaven. In reply and said, no, Father Abraham. No, 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 Father Abraham. Suddenly the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, here you can see what the sin of this man was that made him go to hell. Are you listening? This is it. That man in hell said no to Abraham in death. But before in his life, he had said no to Jesus. And a no to Jesus is the worst sin a human being can commit. I stand here as a servant of the Most High God, and I am going to cry that name out one more time. And as I will cry it out together with you, I pray that the Holy Spirit may burn it with fire into your heart, that you may never, 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 never forget it. It is the wonderful name. It is the matchless name. It is the glorious name. It is the name above all names. It is the name of Jesus. Thank you.
dear friend, I want to repeat one thing from what you just heard. When Abraham answered the rich man's request, he said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." In other words, we could say in our day and age that they have the word of God. Let them hear it and be saved. Then the rich man shouted, "No, Father Abraham." These were telling words. He obviously did not think that his brothers would regard the word of the Lord, the horrible mistake he himself had made. My friend, do not make the same mistake of the rich man and disregard the word of God. I am pleading with you. You have seen a sign from heaven, but its function is to lead you to the living Savior and lover of your soul, Jesus Christ. He is the one who shed his blood for you. And the word of God says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That name is the name of Jesus. I'm inviting you to take this vital step this very moment. If I could, I would want to put my arm around you and lead you to this wonderful, wonderful and only Savior from sin and hell, Jesus Christ. Let's call upon his name this moment, and then that very second something happens inside of you, as it also happened inside of me, because Jesus Christ enters your life. Just repeat this prayer after me, but from the bottom of your heart and with trust and commitment, and heaven will not be silent. There will come a reply. Shall we pray? Let's pray and repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, I have heard your word and respond to your invitation. I say yes to Jesus. I say yes to salvation, and I say no to sin and Satan. I repent of my sin. I commit my life to you. I believe with my heart what I now speak with my mouth, that I am a child of God, that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I am born again. I believe it and I receive it, and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Accept it, appropriate it by faith that you are now a child of God, and that you are, as of this moment, on your way to heaven. God bless you.
Father God, we just thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity, for this glorious opportunity to be able to present the truth as you will it. Through the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke, we ask that you would continually bless this ministry and the one, especially Pastor Daniel, and Pastor Daniel who received this miracle to give this generation, the generation in which we live in, a warning, to be the warning for the rich man to send somebody from the dead to warn this generation. And so, Lord, we heed the warning. I heed the warning on behalf of this generation. And Lord, we ask that whoever watches, listens to this, whoever is touched, that their faith will increase a thousandfold. And Lord, that, you know, in the day of testing, that the enemy, that they are so secure in their faith that the enemy will not even get near them, that the enemy will not even think about pulling, snatching them away from you. That they wouldn't even, look to the tactics of the enemy, that they would look to you all the days of their life. And Lord, that you would reveal to each and every one who hears this message their destiny upon impact. We thank you, Lord. And I just want to offer communion on behalf of my brothers and sisters, my future brothers and sisters who listen to this and who heed and adhere to the call. So we thank you, Lord. We offer up the body and blood, soul and divinity of our dearly beloved Son, or your dearly beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and sins of the whole world. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your body. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your justice. For this documentary is your justice. This witness is your justice in action in this life. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we offer up your body, Lord, on behalf of believers everywhere and non-believers who hear this message and soon become believers. In Yeshua's name we pray. We thank you, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem. We speak the peace of Jerusalem over everyone who hears this message. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're about ready to do. Thank you, Lord. For on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread, you broke it, you offered it up to the Lord, you gave thanks, you offered it up to the Heavenly Father. And you gave thanks, and you said to each one of the disciples, take this and eat, for this is my body which will be broken and given unto you. Whenever you eat my bread and you drink my cup, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. And likewise, he said, with the cup in the other hand, he said, this wine is the cup of my blood, which will be shed for all of you. When you drink this cup, you drink until the salvation that I have for you. In my name, there will be deliverance and there will be healing. There will be resurrections. There will be many things. For there is life in my blood when you drink this cup. Receive the blood, body and blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And I do receive it on behalf of all those who are listening to this message and who have yet to receive you, but in hope that you will reveal to them your resurrection glory in time and eternity. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Remember, be blessed, and know that he is with you. He sticks closer to you than any friend. And he will see you through, because he is a faithful God until he returns in glory. Amen.
need inside to tell you. How my heart burns with love for you. But my world, you always feel so close. For love is something only my heart knows how it feels. You left your throne in endless love, took the form of sleep, poured your life out on.
Yeah.